marry, bury, and dedicate and preach. Praise the Lord. Are y'all okay?
Amen.
All right, let's. We got a few moments left. Let's get back into the Word tonight. Let's fuel up our tank. Let's get ready. Say, I'm ready to receive everything that the Holy Spirit has for me tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Lord, help me as I share your word, teach them tonight. God, give me the words to speak. Lord, I just decrease that you might increase through me tonight. And God, that you can receive all the glory and all the credit. And God, I pray that your people would increase in the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of John, St. John, the big John, chapter 20. And I want to read the words here of Jesus. St. John, chapter 20. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary, and she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now tonight I'm teaching you on the subject again on the blood of Jesus. We started it a couple of weeks ago. And we had a guest speaker last week. But we're going to teach this because Satan hates the subject of the blood of Jesus. Now why does he hate it so much? Well, turn over to 1 John. Well, let's go to the book of Revelation first. Go to the book of Revelation chapter 12. And let me give you some word tonight that will help you. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. I like what this says. Now this gives us precisely why the devil hates the subject of the blood of Jesus. It says in verse 11, Revelation chapter 12, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And they overcame him. Overcome means to prevail over, to have victory. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Now, the reason Satan hates the subject of the blood of Jesus because it is the blood that defeated him. You know, Satan wanted to stand in our place. He wanted to be recognized as God. In fact, he tried to exalt himself at one point of his history over God. And God had to literally take him out of the presence of heaven. And in that realm where God reigns and where God rules and where God's throne is. And from that moment forward, Satan has done everything he could do as an outcast and as an enemy of God to destroy mankind. But it's the blood of Jesus that destroyed him and rendered him powerless. And I say this because a lot of people think that the devil has power, and he does have power, but it's only power that you give to him. He has no power over you unless you yield yourself to him to be used by him to do his work in the earth. And the thing about the blood of Jesus, every time we rub that blood in his face, it reminds him of his defeat. It reminds him of how the people of God overcome him and get past him, that he is no longer the one that is there to steal, kill, and destroy in their life. Now, we've got to make that crossover, and we've got to understand when we talk about the blood of Jesus. So let's continue with the study. I want to show you why Satan hates it. Now, go to 1 Peter. Go back to your to the right there in the epistle of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, let me tell you some things here before I read, because what we'll see tonight is that Scripture has in it circular events. Now, when I say circular, I'm talking about a circle. Picture a circle a moment, because a circle has a starting point, but it really has no end. How many know the blood of Jesus has no end? It has a starting point, and then it comes back around, but it never ends. And a lot of the Scripture has circular events. Now let's find out what I'm talking about here, and as we stand and see that it goes around and it comes back again, but it never ends. In 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 18 and 19. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed. Now, the word redeemed, and I'm teaching you tonight, so I'm, you know, just trying to take it calm, cool, and collective here as much as I can, because when you talk about the blood, it's something to get excited about. Amen. The word redeemed is the word to purchase or to buy back. Some of you are not old enough to know, you know, used to have those green stamps that you get in the grocery store. You paste them in the book and you get your book full. They'd give you, you know, an extra discount or so as you got more green stamps. So that's what the word redeemed means. Now, we're going to find out that the blood is what purchased us and gives us that right standing with God. That's why we can thank God for the blood. Amen? Amen. So He redeemed us with corruptible things. For you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold or silver from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood. Say precious blood. But with the precious blood of Christ, that's the anointed one, as of a lamb without blemish or without spot. He indeed was foreordained, or it was in the foreknowledge, or we can say it this way, God already had it planned out. Look what it says. It says, for indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest or came into a revelation or revealed to us in these last times for you. The blood is for you and I. Okay? Who through Him believed in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So the Scripture tells us this circular path of the blood began in heaven. When Jesus was sent to the earth, it was already in the knowledge of God. God had a plan that He would be able to redeem man once man fell. You don't think God created us in His image and in His likeness and had no plan for us in case we fell out of relationship with God. God had a plan before the beginning of the earth. Now, God didn't plan to fail, because God didn't fail. Man is the one that failed. Okay, so we have to see that. The circular path of the blood of Jesus began in heaven. God created the heaven and the earth. God, remember, created that garden in Eden. And everything that God created in Eden, He brought from heaven. And so we'll find out how this plays out here. But before He created man, He knew that man would fall in His foreknowledge. He knew that man would rebel and fall out of a right relationship with God. So he had to have a plan in place where man could be redeemed. Now this is why we have to study the blood, okay? And this is why we have to understand. Let me just give you some things here. A spirit man. Now God created us as a spirit man in His image and in His likeness. And we have been taught, you know, in this church, we teach you about the tripart being of man, spirit, soul, and body. And, of course, the soul being our mind and our intellect and our emotion. But we live in this body, okay? A fallen Lucifer would tempt man's will. Because we have a will, we can be tempted. The reason we can be tempted is because we have the freedom or the right to choose. And we can choose right or we can choose wrong. We can choose God or we cannot choose God. Okay? Then here's the other thing. Thus, God would design man with the ability to redeem him. In other words, in the infinite wisdom of God, God had to create us with the ability that we could be redeemed. In other words, we just didn't get created and then we sin and, you know, committed treason against God like Adam did and then just fall off the end of the earth. Okay? Then the other thing here, God would thus create man to have blood. Just like He created us to have a soul and He created us to have a body, but the blood aspect, if you study this out, you know, God's first man was called Adam. And the Hebrew language there connects Adam to both dirt and blood. And apparently where the Garden of Eden was located, the dirt was red, just like blood is red. And it comes from two Hebrew words that actually connect the blood with the ground. Now that's important. We'll look at that a little bit later. But if you read, and you can just write the scripture down, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it talks about that we are three-part being. And you'll hear, sometimes we have speakers, like last week, they refer to the spirit, the soul, and the body, okay? And then we have to understand that if you take the spirit out of us, then we will die. If you take the blood out of the body, what happens? It will die. So God created us with blood in our body. In fact, the scriptures say that the life of the body is in the blood. Let's read that. Go to the, because some of y'all, you know, we're just studying tonight. We need to look at all this. Go to the Leviticus, way back over there, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and look at Leviticus chapter 17. The life of the body, flesh, would be the blood. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 reads like this. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. Now, here's the circle. The blood began in heaven. God sent Jesus, and in the earth, Jesus was born of a virgin, but He had the blood of God. His blood was perfect. His blood was without sin, and His blood was divine because it was heavenly blood. I want you to see the circle because the blood started in heaven. God had a plan to redeem man. Now man was always redeemable, but only through blood or through a sacrifice of blood. That's why you find in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, the priest would sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats. And they would do that annually. They would do it once a year to make atonement. The word atonement means to cover the sin. Now, it's one thing to cover your sin, and it's another thing to cleanse you from your sin. The blood of bulls and goats would atone for that sin, but it would not cleanse them, or in other words, have the power that they would not recommit or do it again. So we have to understand this way the blood begins to work, because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:14, and I think we read that last time, but I'll just quote it to you again. It says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" So the blood of Jesus, by its inherent design, begins to clean our conscience so that we're not running around in this life every time we miss it with a guilty, shameful, sinful conscience. Are you with me? Okay. And when John the Baptist came on the scene, what did he say? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." I believe that's in John chapter 1, verse 14, around there. And when Jesus went to the cross, the blood reached the bottom of the circle on that cross, and then Jesus gave up the ghost. He was separated from God through the sin, the sacrifice that He made, because the cross became the altar of God, just like in the Old Covenant where they had an altar and they would take the bull or the goat or whatever it was, the animal, and cut that animal, and that blood there would be shed upon that altar. Well, the cross became the altar of God, and Jesus, and we know this from the New Testament, in the book of Colossians and other places, where Jesus literally went into the grave, and then from the grave destroyed the works of the devil. The Bible says He had power over death, hell, and the grave. And so the circle of blood went all the way into the depths of the earth and then began to return back towards heaven. Amen. Now let's see that. Let's look at that, because the resurrected Lamb of God now became the high priest of God. Now, this is a little, I know this may be a little deep for some of you to understand, but we have to see that Jesus, when He came to the earth, had an earthly ministry. He was a preacher, He was a prophet, and we know that He was anointed by God. And He preached the kingdom of God is at hand. But when He was resurrected, and He began to ascend back to heaven, to be at the right hand of the Father, His earthly ministry was finished, and now what is known as His priestly, or He became the high priest. He came as the Lamb of God, but He was resurrected as your faithful high priest. Are you with me? All right. Now, let's go over here and see this, okay? Some of y'all are looking at me, okay. Are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. All right, we're trying to close the circle back up here. Hebrews chapter 12. I mean, when you study the blood of Jesus, this is quite a study. This is not, some people think, well, that's just simple, ABC stuff. Well, it's simple, but it's deep, because the blood does more than what you think. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, let's look at this right quick. Say the blood of Jesus. Got to have faith in the blood. Amen. All right, and I believe this was a revelation given to the Apostle Paul. That's why I believe the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, okay? Because it goes right in line with talking about salvation and what the blood does. Hebrews chapter 12, let's read verses 22. It says, "You have come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly," verse 23, "and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven." In other words, their names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Did you qualify? If you did, you had to get washed by the blood. Amen? It says, wretched in heaven, to God, the judge of all. Underline that, because that's important. We'll see that later. The judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Just men made perfect. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Now here's what I want you to see, is that the blood speaks. It said right there that the blood speaks better than that of Abel. Now, what happened? Cain killed Abel, and Abel's blood cried out to God. What did it cry out? It cried out for justice. But it says that Jesus' blood, though it speaks, it's not crying out for justice, but now it cries out for mercy to man. In other words, because of the blood of Jesus, it's not speaking anymore for justice. Every one of us were guilty. Every one of us fell short of the glory of God. We deserved the death penalty, but because of the blood of Jesus, the blood speaks because Jesus is the mediator. You know what a mediator is? It's someone who stands on behalf of both parties. So Jesus is the mediator for you and I. He is the one that stands between us and God. If Jesus is not mediating, we're not going to see the Father. And the reason we can see the Father is because Jesus' blood speaks to God that even though we were guilty, we were dead in trespass and sin, we have received the sacrifice of His blood, and His blood gives us right standing with God. Amen. So that's why we can praise God for the blood. Amen. We don't, you know, there's not a very many sermons. You don't hear a lot of preaching and teaching on the blood of Jesus. You don't hear a whole lot of songs. We need to get some more songs on the blood of Jesus, because the blood will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. Remember that song? And goes to the lowest valley. And it will never, ever lose its power. We have to understand that the blood of Jesus is what gives Satan the black eye. Every time we apply and rub the blood of Jesus, we're doing what the Bible says. We're keeping Jesus under our feet. Somebody say amen. All right. Now, here's what I wanted to say. We completed the circle. It started in heaven, and it went back to heaven. Now, what did Jesus do? Remember what happened? Jesus, as we read there in John chapter 20. Well, let's go back there and read right where we started. We go back to the circle here. Go back to John chapter 20. We're running out of time, but let me kind of finish this up. John chapter 20. He said to Mary, now he had just risen from the dead. He had not yet ascended to the Father. Did you see that part? So he told Mary not to touch him yet. Make sure you get this part. Now, why did he tell Mary not to touch him? Because he had not ascended. Because if you read in Luke 24:39, when Jesus appeared after he ascended to God to his disciples before his final ascension, he said, "Touch me, handle me." So he allowed them to touch him and handle him. What was different when he appeared to Mary before he ascended to the Father? Well, what was different was that he had not yet ascended to the Father to carry his blood to the mercy seat of heaven, which the Bible calls the propitiation, or the mercy seat, or the one who became the victim. Jesus became the victim, and it was Jesus' blood that was pure. It was sinless. It is incorruptible, is what Jesus sprinkled on the mercy seat of heaven so that man could be redeemed from his sin. Amen. He had not done that yet. So he told Mary, just like the priest in the Old Testament, They would choose out the high priest who would go into the Holy of Holies. That priest had to purify himself, go through a cleansing process. He could not have any sin, because if he did, he would fall dead the moment he went through the Holy of Holies. Amen. And so he would not allow or could allow anybody to touch him in that process of purification until he went into the holy place and offered up that sacrifice of the bulls and the goats of the blood. And so Jesus could not allow someone or anyone to touch him, because his blood was pure. His blood was part of that circle that came from heaven, now ascending back to heaven to sprinkle on the mercy seat of God, so that you and I could be redeemed. Somebody say amen. All right. So the high priest now is really the ministry of Jesus. We'll get into this a little bit later, because Jesus ascended to heaven and then he sat down at the right hand of the Father. He becomes our advocate, he becomes our mediator, and he becomes our intercessor, and he becomes our good shepherd. In other words, this is what Jesus is to the believer. If we look at the whole realm of the priestly ministry, 1 John, let me read this to you, because as we know from reading the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, that priest had to do it once every year. Because why? Because every year he had to make atonement for the sins of the people over and over and over again. But the Bible says Jesus did it once. Say once. Once and for all. Never to have to be done again. Amen. So every time I receive the blood of Jesus, it washes me and it cleanses me. And I have an advocate. What's an advocate? An advocate is like an attorney. Literal word means to plead your case. All right, let's look at this. 1 John 1:9. Quickly. It says, well, let's read verse 7. It says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And what? The blood of Jesus Christ, well, look at this, His Son, cleanses us from how many sin? From all sin. Isn't that great? So why would any believer want to carry around sin? Why would any believer want to stay under the condemnation and the guilt and shame of Jesus? Because they don't have a revelation of the blood. They don't understand what the blood has been designed by God through divine wisdom. That God created man and He created this body so that it could be redeemed because of its own blood. Well, He says, if we confess, look at verse 9, because this is how we get rid of it. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? From all unrighteousness. You know what that tells me? If I confess to Him the ones that I know about, then He'll be faithful and just to forgive me of the ones I don't know about. Because I'm sure there's a lot of them I don't know about. Amen. And thank God I'm not depending on my confession of everything I've ever done. You couldn't even remember everything you've ever done. Amen. Good, bad, and ugly. Are you with me? But He says what? He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He goes on to say, if we say we don't have sin, we're liars. Okay. So we've got to have, look what chapter 2 says, because you just go right in chapter 2, you know, there's no verse in separation in the original. It says, my children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have what? An advocate. Somebody that pleads our case with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation, or He's the mercy seat. He's the one that sprinkled His blood, and His blood is crying out before God, mercy to man. So, When we talk about Jesus and we talk about His blood and we talk about the ministry of the high priest, we find out that God, and we read that over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 23, that God is the judge. Amen. And God is a just judge. Amen. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Those old Roman road scriptures. But we have an advocate. Amen. Now, if we read over in Revelation, we'll look at this next week. We're out of time. We'll find out that we have a prosecuting attorney against us. He's called the accuser of the brethren. Amen. So you have a heavenly court. Amen. God is at the bench because He's the judge of all men.
Amen.
You've got a prosecutor who is accusing you day and night, night and day, because He keeps track of everything you do. But you've got a defense attorney named Jesus. And every time the prosecutor accuses you and declares before the judge that you are guilty, the defense attorney stands up and says, wait a minute, that has been washed. That has been cleansed. It's not in the book anymore. You were sealed with that redemption from God Almighty. Thank God. Say, thank God for the blood. Come on, stand up on your feet. Say, thank God for the blood. Thank God. That's why we can thank God in the morning for His blood. Thank God in the noontime for His blood. Why would anybody want to walk around and stay in their sin as a believer when they can get rid of it just like that and come into right relationship with God? The devil goes around accusing. And that's why it said, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Every one of us were guilty as charged.
Yes.
Every one of us deserved the death penalty, didn't we?
Yes.
Man alive, we didn't deserve what God has so graciously given us. But the blood of Jesus speaks. And it's speaking tonight. He's speaking and He's saying, look, I was doing some, study today. I got in some real heavy duty conversation with God. I can't even begin to tell you these things yet. But it has to do with those who are genuine and those who are pretending. I believe there was a distinction made because even John recognized and said they are of an anti-Christ spirit, an anti-anointing. How could somebody in the church who is genuine stay in sin?